Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
In the 30s, there are three teams that dominated the league. New York Giants, Green Bay Packers, and the Bears. And nobody could come close to us.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast.
Who knows, maybe we come out running like Wing T or something.
Right on cue, Justin Fields to the end zone.
With your host,
the one and only,
Kevin Powell.
We're rolling and it's go time.
Let's talk football.
There's been some really bad losses under Matt Nagy, and this is one of the worst under Matt Nagy in his time here at Chicago. Because he was completely outcoached, he got in his own way, the timeout management was terrible, and it potentially cost them getting into field goal range. I realize that's a stretch, but like some of the decisions made by Matt Nagy in this loss were head-scratching. Justin Fields gets hurt. You have Soldier Field erupts after Andy Dalton connects deep to give the Bears the lead on 4th and 11. It feels like the Bears are finally going to end the losing streak, but it doesn't happen. Episode 20 of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. What a roller coaster and a weird game. Like, Justin Fields goes down, and like that's the Bears are basically next to unwatchable without Justin Fields, because that's the future. So you can watch, and even if they're losing, if he's playing well or you see progress, you're like, okay, we can take that, right? This is not a very good team, not a well-coached team, but Justin Fields is in there, and he's the guy we think is going to be the franchise quarterback for the next 10, 15 years. And then he gets hurt, and it's like, well, that really sucks. Now we're going to have to watch Andy Dalton go in. And then Dalton connects with Darnell Mooney for a 60-yard touchdown pass on a little screen bubble route. And all of a sudden, the Bears take the lead, and it looks like they might beat the Ravens, who don't have their MVP candidate in Lamar Jackson. And then Matt Nagy gets in his own way. A 3rd-and-1 play action around the 50-yard line, nothing. Appears they're going to punt. Then there's some headset confusion. Matt Nagy says his headset isn't working. So he burns a timeout in a game that looked it was complete chaos, and it just felt like timeouts would be precious late in the game. They always are, especially in a game like that where weird things were happening. It felt like a game where you can't just be blowing through timeouts. And he blows it. They go for 4th-and-1. They're stopped. There's another 4th down later in the game. He blows a timeout. And then the Bears go, they score the touchdown. Dalton connects to Marquise Goodwin. Everybody goes nuts. It's like, I can't believe this. The Bears might actually pull this off. And then the kicking unit comes out. And everyone's like, well, shouldn't you be going for 2 here? And then they call their last timeouts, which you have the lead. That's great. But that was a coach who wasn't aware of the situation that they should be going for 2. And because of that, he burned the last timeout. Now, who knows what happens on that final drive. But if you have a timeout, you feel a lot better about it. Opens up some possibilities, right? Deep throws down the middle. You're not constrained to the sidelines. Andy Dalton can work with the field a little bit more. But that wasn't the case. It burned all 3 timeouts. So Matt Nagy was asked about it after the game. And he went through the 3 timeouts in the second half, and I'm in the press conference room. I'm not kidding. I almost started laughing listening to his response, just because it was just so classic Nagy of talking in circles, and like he was wrong, like he screwed up. He was the head coach. He didn't realize they needed to go for 2. Now, like at the end of the day, did it really matter if they would have ended up kicking that? It doesn't matter all that much, but it's the fact that your head coach wasn't aware that they should have went for 2 in that situation, and as a result, they had to burn a timeout. Here was his response after the game.
Yeah, so that one there, again, we're at a point where, yeah, the celebrations, you have guys coming back and forth, and then also knowing that you're up, you know, those 4 points where we were, you want to be able to make sure you have everything you need personnel-wise and going for it, et cetera. You know, there was also the penalty. So you have, do you move it half the distance, make it from the 1? Do you use it on kickoff? So there was a lot of stuff going on at that point. But that's why we used it, to be able to make it a 6-point game.
Just a really, really bad day for Matt Nagy. You're facing the Baltimore Ravens, who don't have Lamar Jackson. You expect to win that game, right? You're facing a backup quarterback, and it's another game out of a bye under Matt Nagy where they lose. I don't think the bye week does much for Matt Nagy. I mean, the injury report's lengthier than it was before the bye week. That's not necessarily on Nagy by any means, but it was just bad, and it was such a weird game. so I kind of just, I'm like, this is a weird, strange game. It's a lot of stuff happening. And, you know, Fields goes down. And, like, that's the main reason that gives you some hope in the Chicago Bears is that Justin Fields can be the starting quarterback for a while. And when he goes down, it's like, well, there goes the whole day. But then it's like, all right, like, Dalton might lead them to a victory here. And that would have left him at 4-6, still somewhat in the hunt. And if you're Matt Nagy, like, that's a major blow to your stay here in Chicago. And who knows what happens? And Mark Carmen joined me, and we get into this a little bit more. But, like, I think there was a scenario, despite that four-game losing streak, where Matt Nagy could have saved a job over the second half of the season. Much of that would have to do with the development of Justin Fields and just how the team looks. You have days like this do not help Matt Nagy's case to the McCaskies, to Ted Phillips, in staying in Chicago as the Bears head coach. Not at all. Like, this was a really, really bad day for Matt Nagy. And, you know, I'm not a fire Nagy guy constantly like some people, you know. Quarterback throws an interception, fire Nagy. I've never really been that way, but I think it's time to move on from Matt Nagy. I think that time is here. Probably could have made that case after last year, right? A lot of us were surprised he was still with the team after last season. So Matt Nagy's case would have to be somehow over the final stretch of the season, showing them, being like, hey, I know we're not where we need to be, but look at what Justin Fields is doing. I can continue to develop him. He doesn't have that. If this continues and somehow Fields in the offense looks bad like it did today, I don't know any case scenario where you could bring Matt Nagy back. But this was a game they should have won. You're at home, out of a bye. You're facing a Lamar Jackson-less Ravens team, and it was a whole lot of bad. Ribs injury for Justin Fields. I doubt he plays on Thanksgiving. A quick turnaround. I don't even know why you would. But who knows? This team it's almost delusional at some points. I think they think they're better than what they are. But the record is what it is. 3-7. The Bears losing to the Ravens 16-13. Certainly a winnable game. All right, that's enough of my rant. Time for my conversation with WGN Radio's Mark Carmen, pre- and post-game host with Dan Hampton and Ed Obradovich. All right, Mark Carmen, fresh off his post-game show with Dan Hampton, Ed Obradovich on WGN Radio. Caught some of it. I'm sure the guys were fired up. Carm, it just, you know, these all-timer losses, these they're just stacking up. They're stacking up over and over, and especially under Matt. I haven't, and I'm not a constant fire Nagy guy, but, like, his timeout management in this game was horrendous. You're playing a Ravens team that doesn't have Lamar Jackson. They're banged up all over the place. Yes, you lose Justin Fields. I thought Hamp made a great point towards the end of your show. Was like, and I've been saying this, you know, during the bye week, it was a four-game losing streak the Bears were on. But fans, we were feeling it, a little giddy, right, because of Justin Fields and the momentum that he had in the second half against the Steelers. You thought that would translate, that would carry over to this week. And it didn't happen. Just a complete disaster.
Yeah, I don't get the 4-for-11 in the pocket, don't roll him out, no screens, didn't put him in a position to win. Offense goes completely backwards. And that ultimately is what Matt Nagy should, and I think ultimately, I mean, wins and losses matter, but that really is what he's going to be judged on. Like, if Fields just kept on soaring.
Right.
And
he maybe saves his job.
He has it.
Right? He maybe saves his job, because then he can take that to the McCaskies or Ted Phillips, whoever's making the shots there, and be like, I realize we're not where we need to be, but look at what we've done with Justin Fields.
Right.
If he doesn't have that, I have no clue how you could possibly keep Matt Nagy.
Right. And I just, it's confusing to me, because I am admittedly, I am not a football guru, and neither is anybody else. I wouldn't say neither is anybody else, but this is not rocket science, what you should do with Justin Fields, yet they don't do it. So I just don't get it. Like, how do you... I think Baltimore, too, is just an absolute perfect underlining of what can be done and what can't be done. Lamar Jackson was the 32nd pick in the first round. A lot of people thought he was not an NFL quarterback. John Harbaugh created a system around the skills of his quarterback, and the guy ended up as the MVP of the NFL in 2019. Who was the quarterback today?
I'm already blanking.
Tyler Jenkins? Seriously, whatever it was, he was an undrafted free agent in 2020 out of Utah, who, by the way, played against Lamar Jackson in a championship high school football game.
Tyler Huntley.
Got the name wrong. No one's ever heard of him. And what were his numbers? He was 26 of 36.
219, no touchdowns, had an interception. The pass rush by the Bears, give them some credit. I heard you guys talk a little bit about Robert Quinn, who brought it today. Three and a half sacks. They got to Huntley six times. I also think it's sort of this, clearly the Ravens are better coach than the Bears, right? Like, it was almost that perfect opponent in a coaching staff where they build consistent winners with Baltimore under Harbaugh. And it was, like, fitting that it was, a competent coaching staff against Matt Nagy on one of Nagy's worst days.
This particular day, you come out to start the second half. You have a false start. You have the headset issue where he had it right. Look, man, you're up a point. The Ravens have whoever we just said at quarterback. It's the fourth quarter. You tried to go for a bomb on third and one. I didn't agree with it, but you don't want to compound it by going for it on fourth down.
Yeah, those deep shots on those short yardage, those are typically what you take on a second and one, right? Or second and inches, because you know you've got a third down to work with. In a game like that where both offenses are struggling mightily to move the ball, you gifted them a prime field position, and you burnt a timeout doing it, which the timeout management, among many things that frustrated me today, that was certainly one of them. You had the headset, and I'm not kidding, Carm. I was in the press conference room after Nagy comes in. He's asked about each timeout in the situation. He gets to the third one, and who knows how it plays out, but you certainly would have, with the way that game was going and as crazy it was, you certainly would have liked to have at least one timeout late in case the scenario, which played out, the Ravens go down and score, you have a timeout. Why didn't they have a timeout? Because the Bears score a touchdown on a Hail Mary crazy play from Andy Dalton on what was it, 4th and 11. They send the PAT unit out there. And there was a clear go for two situation it would have been a 6-point game.
Right.
He burns a timeout, then they go for two, they don't get it. Matt Nagy was asked about it after the game, and I almost started laughing in the press conference. He was doing his Nagy thing, which is he talks in circles, and he talks, and he talks, and he talks. He's like, celebrations were going. It was this long-winded answer of saying nothing without saying I screwed up and didn't realize we should have gone for two in that spot.
And look,
that's one of the that just irritated me the most, the way he was just blatantly tossing around timeouts in a game where it was clear you're probably going to need those late in the game.
I'm 100% with you. Look, this is not calculus. This is not geometry. This is not trigonometry. This is you're up four. If you kick the extra point, you're up five. Four and five doesn't matter. If you go for two, it gets to six. So somehow, some way, if they mix the extra point, if they get in the end zone, it matters. This is not, I mean, come on. You're a football coach. This is what you do. You've thought through these scenarios. You know, a baseball manager, if the lefty comes up in two batters, I got to have my guy ready. If we score, we'll be up four. I'm going, guys.
That's the looking ahead part, right?
Right.
That's what we thought maybe could help Matt Nagy, where he doesn't have to bury his face into his call sheet. He might have a little bit more awareness about what was going on. Like, hey, if we somehow score here, we should go for two. Not let's roll out the PAT unit, burn a timeout, and then fail the 2-point conversion.
And listen, I was asking Hamp and OB in the pregame, does it matter to you, not just Nagy, does it matter to you how a coach communicates with the media? And the reason why I'm asking is because the way he does it, it just shows you that he's just not very sharp. Like he's always searching for what to say and how to say it. And it's the same thing with the headset goes out. You don't need the headset, dude. It's 4th and 1. You're punting the football. Like,
it was almost like he got talked into it by the Soldier Field crowd because
right?
There was like some like, woo, like maybe they'll go for it here. And then, you know, I'm looking on the TV monitor and he looks like he's freaking out because his headset's not working. And the next thing you know, they're going for it and it's some wildcat formation. You're running back 5 yards back from the center, from the line of scrimmage. There was just so much bad. And then on top of that, like the way the storylines were going in this game, it's like, all right, no one wants to see Andy Dalton. Fields gets hurt. Dalton comes in. Everyone's like, damn it. Dalton's in. The only thing that really matters this season is Justin Fields. And then Dalton throws a screen pass to Darnell Mooney that actually works. The Bears never call successful screen plays under Matt Nagy. He throws this turns into a 60-yard touchdown run. It's like, what is happening in this game?
Well, they hadn't targeted a tight end in the first half either. And then the first play with Dalton is play action and a throw to Jimmy Graham. I'm like, oh, that nice. Good call. Apparently, like, I don't know if they have things scripted that this, well, we're gonna start doing play action in the third quarter. We're gonna do it this way to start the football game. But it's just like, why is Justin Fields confined to the pocket, and why are you not learning the lessons that you learned earlier in the year that you need extra protection? All of it is just baffling to me. I wanted to at least, I was trying to make an argument at some point, like, look, if Nagy develops Fields and the Bears
go like 500 the rest right, of the way,
it's not a for sure that if you get rid of him, that it's going to be better. Because who are they going to hire? Roll the dice. I mean, let's the last two rolls of the dice, John Fox, Mark Trestman, you could argue, I think probably correctly, that Nagy's better than both of them, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could certainly make that case.
I mean, it's not exactly the tallest tree in the forest here. I mean, but you know, I just with their history, that doesn't mean you don't swing again and try to rework the whole thing, because that's clearly what they need to do. But with their history, there's certainly no guarantee they're going to get it right. I mean, who's the Ernie Arcosi of 2021, who, by the way, shouldn't have been hired in 2015? I mean, it's how are they going to go about this?
Yeah, it's all this game like encompasses all the larger picture type stuff, right, that we're getting at, which is like the development of Justin Fields, Matt Nagy's future, Ryan Pace's future. You had a lot of guys that were injured today, and these aren't exactly correlated, but there was a whole lot of depth. Dead money out on the sidelines. You had Nakeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson. There's going to have to be some serious roster moves made after this season, because they are coming up to a serious cap situation where you got a lot of money on some old guys that you probably don't want on your spreadsheet anymore. So they're like, there was that component. The fact that Fields wasn't exactly, I didn't say he played bad. It was such a small, I feel like there was a couple drives where they had some momentum, especially early on. Santos misses a field goal, which turned out to be huge, obviously. And then Fields has got to protect the ball better. Was he up to 9 fumbles on the year already?
Right.
That can't happen. Felt like he still showed like some throws where I'm like, all right, that was a legit throw. Like that's what we're talking about. You know, some of the throws he made were like that. Okay, that's what I want to see. You know, I want to see throws that an NFL legitimate quarterback should be making.
It's there. We've seen it. It needs to be developed. Did anybody ask him, how do you explain going backwards, Fields going backwards from last week to through a bye to this week? I mean,
somebody asked him about that, and he just kind of was like deflected and said it's a good defense and there's different looks and things like that. The Ravens secondary, by the way, they have one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL.
They're second to the bottom.
And there was a couple moments where, like, you know, Dalton missed a couple guys deep. Fields had one overthrow to Mooney. He did have a beauty of a dime to Mooney on the run, moving to his right, where he put it right over the defender, and Mooney made a good catch. So, again, more deflecting and talking in circles by Matt Nagy after. I cannot listen to the man talk anymore. It's just long-winded, and the dude says nothing.
How loud were the chants?
Loud.
Loud.
Yes. So if you saw on Twitter that the fire Nagy chants were going on at Soldier, yes, they absolutely were. Closed windows in the press box, Carm heard it very clearly coming through, and we're like, oh, here come the fire Nagy chants.
Was it a fire Nagy?
Yeah, but they were like, I feel like half the stadium wasn't in sync with the other half.
Okay.
So I think it picked up, but then there was like fire Nagy, but then it was kind of overlapping a little bit. But there was a moment where it was a very clear fire Nagy. It's got to be tough for a guy, like, just be standing on the sideline and, like, 60,000 people are rooting for your job to be eliminated from your position. In a job you've, like, dreamt about your entire life, essentially.
And your family's.
Family's here. His kid plays for Lake Forest. They just lost in the semifinals to Cary Grove over the weekend.
I mean, it comes with the territory, and it makes a lot of money, and he'll move on and all that, but it's brutal. It's a tough job.
It's tough. Like, the last three games, winnable game here. Probably should have won that Steelers game, right?
I was just, you know, from my own selfish standpoint, doing the show each week, it's like, can we just stay relevant? I think it's actually better for the Bears to be bad and get a good draft pick, although they don't have their draft pick, so it doesn't even matter. I take that back.
Right. That's the part that sucks. Like, all right, quick turnaround, Thanksgiving, we have to watch Bears and Lions, and I don't know if – I doubt Fields plays on Thanksgiving.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, ribs, I mean, that's that can present all kinds of problems, obviously. So you're looking at a horrendous quarterback matchups. Obviously a game the Bears can win against the Lions, but, man, it's
– So let's win out. Lions, Cardinals, Packers, Vikings, Seahawks, Giants, Vikings. Done. Classic win out, KP. 10-7. Let's go. 7 in a row.
Yeah, it's frustrating. How were Hampton OB? Did they lose it?
They were struggling. They were, as far as just, OB at one point was staring at the carpet while he was watching the games. I cannot believe this. And it's honestly amazing to me how much he legitimately cares. I mean, he really. Yeah, cares.
It's not an act.
It's like,
they're fired up.
I mean, so look.
Anything good you could take from this game? I mean,
that's the thing. Like, I
guess Robert Quinn, but like, is Robert Quinn like he's not a part of the equation? You know what I mean? Like, there's such bigger picture stuff. And I'll say this: Robert Quinn, by the way, he was nearly in tears in his post game press conference. He's like, "We're just trying to give people something to cheer for," and he was very upset. I was like, it looked like he was about to, like, tears were coming out. Like, this is, this sucks for the players. I mean,
well, let me walk on out on this. I'm not going to be the guy that tells you to get some perspective, because this is just, this is sports upset, and sports upset is way down the line.
And and I've talked before, like, they are millionaires at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They're taken care of. They're going home to their mansions.
Don't be a prisoner of the moment. Matt Nagy's not going to get booed the rest of his life. He'll be fine. But so, on the Bears YouTube, if people check it out, there's a story on Robert Quinn, and he had a tumor on his spine in high school that the doctors told him, "Hey, dude, say goodbye to your parents, say goodbye to your friends. You're going to be gone in a week." And so he was, like, literally saying his goodbyes, and he started he's emotional in there talking about it. And then, of course, I'm not exactly sure how, but he got through it, and he's here today. But, like, watching that story, I was like, wow, this is a great story about a Bear. I mean, I'm sitting there on a Saturday night with nothing to do, prepping for the show, screaming to myself, "R. Quinn!" That's my positive Bears on the way out here. And Justin Fields, maybe it's even good for him to have a little reset here, let him get healthy, not play the Lions, take some time off, and come back out later in the year. Quit calling running plays. That was OB's biggest upset. They're calling running plays for their most valuable player, or to be, at least. So why put him in that position? First play of the game, the dude's running the football.
And it worked.
You're right. But it's like,
I'm okay with getting him on the move.
Yeah, I like on the move, but design running plays for him.
It can work. I mean, a two lead block. I understand the point. You don't want this guy getting killed. And he was getting hits. The past few games, he's been getting smoked. They got to figure something out there.
Yeah.
All right. Any other thoughts, Carm? You got to go.
I'm off to walk Poppy the puppy. We're going to go to the park and hope she doesn't attack any
it's
other dogs.
It's gotten windy out there.
Bundle
up, Carm.
I got my Wildcat gloves.
Go Cats.
KP, good to see you.
All right, I like to wrap up every post-game podcast with a best-of highlight package of Dan Hampton and Ed Obradovich on the WGN Radio post-game show, and here's what we got this week.
I don't know where to go with this, folks. Okay,
what happened to our quarterback? He had to leave because of ribs. How many times did we have called quarterback runs today? I know of at least four.
We've got a kid who Fields, who we believe that he's the future of the Bears, okay? With running quarterbacks, bad things usually happen. And not only today, but 2 weeks ago, you know what Nagy and Lazor are doing? They're designing running plays for who? Our quarterback, Justin Fields, the future of our team. Now, the last time I checked, there's an offensive line, and they're supposed to block and open holes. Then the next thing that I remember, there are people who are on a Bears uniform or any team uniform. They're called halfbacks. They're called running backs that you pay millions of dollars to run the football. And you're going to design plays for our new quarterback, who's the hope of the future, more? You're going to design running plays for him? It's not bad enough that he gets whacked every other play when he passes. Now you want to put him in a running situation on a design play? You morons!
And then we miss the field goal and throw out that 60-something
Santos
prayer in Pittsburgh. He has been fantastic, and now Nagy's contaminated him as well.
We're the worst scoring team in the National Football League. We're dead last, and you wonder why? It's not a mystery, folks, and I am so damn aggravated to sit there, and this is a game that we could have had in front of the greatest fans on this planet, and a game plan that we basically gave a game up, is what we did to a backup quarterback who's played about a few minutes in the National Football League on our home field.
Well, they knew that.
Happy Thanksgiving!
I love Hamp and Opie. Thank you for Brian Altimer for producing that segment. He does it after every post-game podcast. Thank you to Ernie Skatton for his production help as well. Thanks to Carm for jumping on. Bears lose to the Ravens 16-13 at Soldier Field. Another frustrating one. Quick turnaround. Going to be a very long, short week for the Bears. They play the Lions on Thanksgiving. Look for some more podcast content later this week. Have a great day.